الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توغى وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
We ask Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala by the tiny fingers of Aliyya Asghar of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein to ease all the great problems, the hajat that everyone, the Muslims at large, those present over here especially, all of that be granted and all of that problems be eased. I've quoted this hadith maybe more than once, and that is, our sixth Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam, has lessons every day. And in one of the lessons, in all of these lessons, Zurara, he is his student. And on one day he is absent. The next day Imam inquires, Zurara, why were you absent yesterday? He comes up with various excuses and finally says, that Imam, the reason for my absence was that I invited the best of those who mourn, weep for Abu Abdullah at my house, and we cried. It was as such that 5-6 of us, each one of us recited, then the rest of them cried. So we were crying for your grandfather, an azah was held for your grandfather Hussein. Imam says, I know that. And he says, Zurara says, that I had a feeling, a sensation that there's someone by the door. If you had come, why didn't you come in? Imam says, yes, it wasn't a sensation, it wasn't a feeling. It was me, myself, in person, and I was by the door in your majlis. And the reason why I did not come in is because my mother Zahra also was present over there by the footwear. And how could I have come? And then Imam continues, says that wherever, whenever a majlis is held for Abu Abdullah and Hussein, the quantity doesn't matter. It may be one reciter and one listener. Says the third is us, Ahlul Bayt. So quantity in a majlis doesn't matter. You may find that there are large number of people in large gatherings where they come together. Sometimes you've got just a few. But here Imam says one to one, a majlis which is one to one, one reciter and one listener, third are us. So it is a great blessing that Allah has given to us. And majalis held for Abu Abdullah, they are all an opportunity, a tawfiq, a rizq given to individuals. Now this rizq, like all other food, drinks, jobs, wives, children, etc., etc. Rizq ma'navi is also a rizq. Maybe it wasn't destined for it to get to some, it was destined to get to just a few. That too again is that wisdom of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala as to who gets what. May that be rizq which is maddi, or may that be rizq which is spirituality or morality. One of the ulama living in Mashhad, Sayyid Ali Mashhadi, he is in need of funds and to make some refurbishment or some repairs in his house. Now this again is that beautiful bond which people have with the Imam of time. What he does, first of all, straight to Imam al-Asr, that Imam, these are my needs, these are my requirements, these are the repairs to be done, and I want you to help, the funds to be provided by you. He doesn't get any answer, has that tawassul for a few days. When no answer comes straight to Imam Riza alayhi salam. And there he starts complaining. Imam, I had that need, that requirement, that hajat your grandson did not give. I have come to complain about him to you, and I want you to sort this out for me. He says, as I was complaining to Imam Riza in the sacred shrine, in front of his grave, I see a young man stand beside me and a very old man stand beside him. So the young man was Imam and that old man was Hazrat Khizr alayhi salam. Now those of those who have been blessed with the visitation of the Imam of time, they say that we always see that there is an old man with him, that is Hazrat Khizr, his assistant. And again, we find this in riwayat that especially on the day of Arafah, when Imam is present in the day on that spot, Hazrat Khizr is also present. The reason for his presence, the task assigned to him on that day of Arafah, is that for those 3-4 hours, Hazrat Khizr has to say Ameen, Ameen, Ameen to the dua of all of the Hajis present over there. That is, no dua is rejected on that day of Arafah. Ameen is said by Hazrat Khizr. Assignment is given to him by Imam al-Asr. Imam al-Asr is also present. He says, this alim, Sayyid Ali Mashhadi, he says that as I was complaining to the 8th Imam, I see Imam next to me. And then he says that I saw Imam raise his hand and he was telling me that problems, afflictions do come across in everyone's life. So have Ahlul Bayt seen these problems? And the associates, friends of Ahlul Bayt also have such problems. And then he says that as I saw Imam raise his hand, a vision opens before me. And that was the house of Zahra and Ali alayhim as-salam. And he says that I saw that small, humble house of Ali and Zahra with little pottery, that is, pots and pans made of clay, and with that wheel on which she used to grind the wheat. And after seeing that very humble house of Zahra and Ali, my sight struck to the door. And then I started crying. That was this that door when my Hazrat Zahra was crushed between that door and that nail? And he starts crying, saying, Ya Zahra. The moment he says, Ya Zahra, he says that Imam al-Asr, he starts crying. That is, on two occasions, his eyes, they are filled with tears. One, when the name of Zahra is uttered. And secondly, when the name of Aba Abdullah is mentioned. He says, when I saw him cry, I just forgot why I was here complaining to Imam Riza alayhi salam. Now the reason why I mentioned this is that we have to have a bond with the Imam of time. It is mandatory, it is wajib, it is very necessary, we have to. And there is no other way out. That is, a few minutes of our day we have to spend with the Imam. One of the ways, one of the means, it's by these du'as that we have, that have been reported to us. And among them is this beautiful small du'a which is known as istighasa, which is mentioned in Mafatihul Jinan. We've got a few copies for you, you can take them. And you can find it online, on your channel. It's called Seeking Help from Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wassalam. It's a beautiful small ziyarat and istighasa and du'a. Just add it to your daily program, just a few minutes more of your time. And benefits of that also are huge. The other thing is that when it comes to learning, when it comes to removing doubts that we have, there is nothing to be ashamed. If there is something we can learn from someone, we have to learn. Abdul Azim Hassani, the great grandson of Imam al-Mustafa alayhi salam, whose haram, whose shrine is in the south of Iran, which is a center point of all zawars, they go and pay visit to him. He once comes to the presence of our 10th Imam, Imam Hadi alayhi salam. Now, Abdul Azim, he is a great person, a very great, honorable person. Comes to the Imam and says, Imam, I just want you to mention what my aqaid are, if you just see if they are correct. So mentions his aqaid, what the faith and belief he has in the oneness of God, in prophethood, in the day of judgment, in the concept of imamat, and says, Imam, is this right? Is this what I should be doing? Imam listens to them carefully and says, yes, Abdul Azim, this is our aqeedah. This is our faith. This was the faith of my grandfathers and my forefathers. This was the faith of the Prophet, and this is my faith as well. And what you have, that's right. So Abdul Azim Hassani, a very great personality, to check his aqaid, comes to the Imam. Or for example, we find in dua, in the books of our hadith, that Hammad bin Isa, one of the great reporters who has reported many, many, many ahadith, also he is the student of our sixth Imam. Once Imam says to him, Hammad, come on, stand up, say your prayers. I just want to see, check how your namaz is, how your salat is. Hammad, he starts offering his prayers. Now, Hammad bin Isa is a very great person. It is like, for example, a marja'a taqleed today in the presence of the Imam. An Imam says to that marja'a taqleed, come on, stand up, say your prayers. I want to check if they are right or wrong. Hammad bin Isa has that great, is of that great caliber. Once he does his prayers, Imam says, aren't you ashamed of yourself, Hammad? Are you the reporter of my ahadith? Are you my student? With all this white beard you have, with all this age of yours, is this the prayers you offer? Now, whatever the fault was in his prayers, so Imam, he can address his student of that great caliber in that way. So we have to be very careful of what our performance is. There is a lot of correction that is needed, a lot of wrong in us, and all of this is a lesson to myself, just talking to myself and to you brothers, just a reminder. So all that wrong that is in our system, it needs to be corrected. There is nothing to be ashamed to ask someone who you trust, who is reliable, who can help you, who is sincere to you, and these things have to be helped. Now, this was just an introduction to this glorious advice of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. That we will talk about now. And that is importance and the value of prayers that has been quoted by the Prophet, and the ranks a person would get in the heaven. Advices to Abu Zar, this noble Sahabi of the Holy Prophet, the companion. Here Rasulullah says, Ya Abu Zar, Inna Allah jalla thana'uhu la yudkhilu qawman al-jannata fayu'tihim hatta yumillu. That Allah will make a nation enter the heaven and then give them so much, hatta yumillu. And He will give them so much until they get tired. That is all of those blessings, favors that will be given to him in the hereafter. And then says, وَفَوْقَهُمْ قَوْمٌ فِي الدَّرَجَاتِ الْعُلَىٰ. Now this person will enter into the heavens. And then he says that above him, on a higher level, there will be other nations in those higher levels of the paradise. قَوْمٌ فِي الدَّرَجَاتِ الْعُلَىٰ فَإِذَا نَذَرُوا إِلَيْهِمْ عَرَفُوهُمْ. When they will look at them, that is those people up in the higher business class of the heaven, for example, they would recognize them, who they are. And then he says, فَيَقُولُونَ. Those on the lower economy class will see those on the business class and say, فَعَرَفُوهُمْ. فَيَقُولُونَ, they will say, رَبَّنَا إِخْوَانُنَا كُنَّا مَعَهُمْ. They were all our brothers. How come in this dunya? فَبِمَ فَضَّلْتَهُمْ عَلَيْنَا. What is the reason that you have excelled them over us in this hereafter, in this heaven? فَيُقَالْ هَيْهَاتْ هَيْهَاتْ. Allah says, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَجُوعُونَ حِينَ تَشْبَعُونَ. That these people who you see, who have been excelled, who have been given that better status in the hereafter, says they are those who were hungry when you were full, when you were eating. وَيَدْمَعُونَ حِينَ تَرْوُونَ. And then when you were drinking, you were not thirsty, they were thirsty. وَيَقُومُونَ حِينَ تَنَامُونَ. And when you were asleep, they were awake. That is in worship and whispering to Allah. وَيَشْغَسُونَ حِينَ تَحْرُزُونَ. So I'll talk about this a little bit more. And the hadith continues. Over here we find in this lengthy advice from the Holy Prophet, that is, the Prophet, he categorizes this wasiyya, this nasiha, into a few stages. First of all, that is, we have all this ghaflat in this unawareness in us. That ghaflat has to be removed. It has to go away. That is, man by nature, he is prone towards fulfilling his instincts. May that be eating, drinking, love, relationships, bonds, desires that he has. He has all these different instincts. He has to remove, as he runs after his instincts in this life, and that because he, for his dunya, has more desires. That is why Rasulullah mentions this hadith over here. As a result of all these attachments that he has, he forgets the hereafter. So that forgetfulness, that neglectfulness that we have towards that hereafter, it has to be removed. And we have to remember the hereafter all the time. And we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That is, we are from Allah, we are heading towards Allah. So that bond or that concept of moving towards the hereafter has to be constantly revived. But we forget it in this busy schedule that we have throughout our day. So that forgetfulness has to be removed. That's the stage one. And the second stage is that now that you are aware of the aim, that is, we have come from somewhere, that is Allah, we are heading to somewhere, which is Allah. So now that we know that, that ma'rifah has to be increased, that who that is, who Allah is, what is that whole idea behind us coming to this world, and what is the idea behind us moving away from here to the hereafter, why is that? So that ma'rifat has to be enhanced, we have to learn a lot. And after that, stage three is that, whatsoever we learn from these ma'arif, we have to practice that knowledge, those ma'arif. So what is that? Duties, do's, don'ts, wajibat, muharramat, the parameters that Allah has set. That is the third stage, that we have to move within those parameters. And the fourth stage, which Rasulullah mentions over here, which is the important part, is that he says, now that you are moving within that framework that Allah has set, which is wajib and haram, he says, now don't just stick to those basics. You have to try, work harder, become stronger, elevate. So that is that fourth step. And then Rasulullah says, that is, now that you know that what that origin of yours is, what your destination is, now that you have enhanced your ma'arif, now that you have topped up with that with your actions, just don't stick to the basic actions, strive a lot more. And then he says the rank of the worshippers and those who are awake at the night. Says that Allah, he will make some enter the heaven. Now those who have entered into the heaven, they have entered into that basic lower level. They will see those in the higher level possessing all those favors that here Allah says that they will get tired of receiving all those favors from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There is this phrase that is this term that is used in this hadith, daraja. In Quran we have the term daraja, it is for the heaven. And the plural is darajat, that is the levels that we have for the heavens. But for the hell, we say darak and darakat. That is, as we have daraj and darajat, elevations. In the heaven, we have darak and darakat. That's the different level, the various levels that we find in the hell. So the Prophet, he mentions that they will be blessed with so many favors that they will be tired of receiving and benefiting from them. And this is just a general understanding of that phrase, payumillu, that he mentioned in this hadith. As in the heaven, there is no tiredness, there is nothing boring as such. Or as the Almighty has mentioned in Quran, that la yamassuna fiha nasabun wa la yamassuna fiha lughub, that there is no pain, there is no tiredness, there is no grief in the heavens, there is no weakness. All these are the qualities that we find that are mentioned for the heaven. So here, when they will be inquired, they will inquire that what is the reason that you have been excelled, you have a better position in the hereafter, and we are stuck in this lower level of the heaven. They will be replied that there is a lot of difference between the two. That is, you were full and we were hungry at that time. Hungry, fasting. On and off, once in a while, we have to observe these mustahab fasts. That is, if we have fasts that are outstanding, which are wajib, first clear them, and then we have to observe mustahab fasts on and off. So that is what he says, that when you were full, we were hungry with these mustahab fasts. When you were thirsty, when you were quenched, we were thirsty. That is again by observing these fasts. Or when you were asleep, we were awake with worship and whispering. So it isn't haram for a person to sleep. It isn't haram for a person not to fast a mustahab fast. But then the day will come when a person will regret, when he sees that those who were with them in the same place, they have been given a higher position. One of the names given to the Day of Judgment is Yawmul Hasra, the day when a person will regret. That is regret, that is all these opportunities that were given to this individual in this dunya, why did he not benefit from those opportunities? And that is the reason why that the name of that day is known as Yawmul Hasra. The other thing is that in the heaven, in all these levels that we have, the highest level, the lowest level is that basic level where mu'mineen will enter. The highest level is that level of Rizwan. And to that also, here Rasulullah, he points out, that is, they will reach that highest stage of Rizwan. Now, the pleasure of Allah the Almighty is the greatest favors that is upon those mu'mineen who will be blessed with the heavens. And now every other blessing, every other favor that we find in the heaven, all that is under the shadow is shadowed by the Rizwan of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So it isn't as such that Rizwan is a favor and all the other blessings and favors are separate. No. Rizwan is the highest and the peak. So, in reality, the worship and servitude that Allah invites us all is servitude based on love towards the Almighty, not for the sake of the heaven or the hell. This is again something that we have to see and look into ourselves. The ultimate success, the ultimate joy of a lover is to seek the pleasure of that mahbub, and that is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So in this hadith, he then continues saying that أُنظُرْ كَيْفَ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. It is the ayah of Quran. He said, even Allah in Quran mentions this, that the levels that we have in the heaven, they are not equal. All these different levels, or sometimes says that mu'min hum darajat. That mu'mineen, they are levels themselves. It isn't as such that a batch of mu'mineen will be put into a level and the others will be sent to a different level. No, Allah says every mu'min is a level for himself, is a daraja for himself. So again, all these beautiful phrases and ayat that we find in Quran, when we come and look into the prayers, for example, we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he has excessive love towards prayer. We talked on this a little bit on and off, that is giving importance to the prayers that we offer, enhancing or making the quality of these prayers better. In this wasiyah, he continues mentioning the best of actions. Says, Ya Abadar, Ja'ala Allah Jalla Thana'uh Qurrata Ayni Fis Salat. That Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made the joy, the delight of my eyes in these prayers. That is, there is nothing which is better than prayer. وَحَبَّبَ إِلَيَّ الصَّلَاةِ كَمَا حَبَّبَ إِلَى الْجَائِعَ الطَّعَامِ. That is, to me, prayers are so much beloved, so much liked. As a person who is hungry, when you give him food, how happy he becomes. Says, like that, I become happy when I come to prayers. And continues and says that, like a person who is so thirsty, when you give him water, how happy he becomes, and with all that joy and with all that delight he drinks sips of water, says, for me prayer is like that. Now why does he mention this hadith and compares it with prayers? Because we, to understand these great sayings of Rasulullah, it's easier for us, because food and drink is something which is a necessity, which every human being, every creature of Allah, he needs. And for him to understand, that is tashbihim ma'akul bil mahsus, as we say, that is to understand and to bring this whole thing closer to our minds. And then says, when he talks about that this prayer is the delight of my eyes, we find the same phrase in Quran, that Allah, the Prophet Musa's mother, says that we will send him, return him back to you, and كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا, and I will make Musa the delight, the joy of your eyes. And over here we find that Rasulullah, he mentions that this prayer that we offer is the delight of my eyes. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam, he says that my grandfather Amir al-Mu'mineen, whenever he was stuck, whenever he had problems, Imam says he used to offer 1,000 raka'at of prayers. And then he used to feed 60 masakin. He used to fast 3 days and then ask Allah to ease whatever problem he had. So this is a teaching to us, that whenever we get stuck, that tawassul has to be there. Just recite a 2-rakat prayer, and then after those 2-rakat prayers, you can ask Allah for whatever hajab, and give a sadaqah, a charity. And again, when you give charity and sadaqah, one of the other teachings that we have, don't give it to that same person all the time. You can give it to him, but in addition to that, give it to multiple people, so that it has more barakat and more people benefit from whatever you are giving in the way of Allah. Regarding these 1,000 raka'at of prayers which Amir al-Mu'mineen offers on and off, we do find them in our riwayat. A person, he comes to Allama Amini, the author of Al-Ghadir, and says, this hadith which says that Imam Ali, he used to offer 1,000 raka'at, do you certify this hadith? Is that right or wrong? He doesn't say, is it, it's right or wrong. In reply, he says, I have experienced it myself. So it is possible. So something which is possible for a regular servant of a servant of a servant of a servant of Amir al-Mu'mineen, then Amir al-Mu'mineen, definitely he can. So reciting, and we have ahadith of this caliber. Or for example, when Rasulullah, he used to get stuck in the hadith, it's as such that مَا أُصِيبَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا صَلَّى فِي ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ أَلْفَ رَكْعَةٍ وَتَصَدَّقَ عَلَى سِتِّينَ مِسْكِينًا وَصَامَ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ. This is the practice of Amir al-Mu'mineen. When Rasulullah said that prayer is the delight of my eyes, we too also have to have that bond with the prayer, that whenever we get stuck, come to prayer and ask Allah Ta'ala to help us out. Or looking into the practice of the ulama, even today, Ayatullah Rajma Jawadi Amali, when people go to him and ask him to do an istikhara, he doesn't do istikharas like we do from Quran and tasbih. His istikhara is different. He says, okay, I'll offer a 2-rakat prayer, ask Allah, and whatever comes to your mind, that is the istikhara. So that is talab al-khayr, asking Allah for the good. So people, they have that bond with prayer. Here says that, Ya Abadar, ayyuma rajulin tatawwa'a fi yawmin walaylatin ithnatay asharata raka'a سِوَى الْمَكْتُوبَ كَانَ لَهُ حَقًّا وَاجِبًا بَيْتٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Allah says, Abadar, in addition to these wajib prayers that you offer, which is Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha, whosoever has an additional 12 raka'at, that is, in addition to these wajib prayers, if you do these 12 raka'at of prayers every day, he says, it is wajib, binding upon Allah to give you a house in the heaven. Just for those 12 raka'at which you randomly, in addition to those wajib prayers, you will say. And then says, Ya Abadar, ma dumta fis salat fa innaka taqra babul malik al jabbar wa man yakthur qira babul malik yaftah lahu. Says that when you are standing before Allah, in your prayers, it is as if you are knocking at the door of the Lord who is the Mighty. And that door you have to knock so much until it opens. Now this again is a teaching to us that whenever we get stuck, when we have a hajat, come and sit on the prayer mat, offer a 2-rakat prayer, talk to Allah to help. It's like these beggars who come and ask you. Sometimes they beg in a wonderful way, we give them instantly. Sometimes the beggars, they don't know how to beg, they don't get anything. Gyar gyada kahil buad. That's Sira Sahib Khan Chis. He said, if the beggar does not know how to beg, then what is the problem? What is the fault of the owner if he doesn't give? Because the beggar doesn't know how to beg. Now the problem in us is that we don't know how to beg. We don't know how to knock. Here Rasulullah says that knock the door so much until the door opens. And the door will definitely open. Now this too that has been mentioned over here, that doors of Allah will be opened, or heavens having all these different levels, or the door of the paradise is as such. Now all this, in reality, a door is not required. This is for us to understand, because we don't understand anything but this. And this, until things are mentioned in a simple way, we don't understand. Now the doors between us and Allah, they are always open. There is no door as such. The barriers that we find are the wrong that we do, the sins that we commit. It's all this pollution that we have that builds up all these filters between us and Allah Jalla wa'ala. That is what is known as doors. And unless we remove all these barriers, all the wrong that we have in our system, those doors will automatically be removed. One of the things which we ought to bear in mind, now this again is just a reminder, we don't want to talk or hurt anyone, but things that are wajib have to be said. That is, wearing a beard is wajib on every man. Shaving a beard is not permitted. So that too again falls in that same category of doing wrong or committing sin. So that too is wajib. And then says that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا عَنْهَا لَا تُفَتَّحُ لَهُمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ. Says that there is no door, there is no barrier as such. The doors are things that we make and we build, that is due to our wrong performance. Now, says that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, those who reject and deny our signs, wastakbaru, and then they were arrogant, anha, la tufattahu lahum abwaabu sama, doors of the heavens will never open before them, for them, they will never open for them. So the reason why we knock and knock and knock and the doors don't open is a wrong in our system. There is something wrong in us which needs to be corrected. And then Rasulullah continues and says, Ya Abadar, ما من مؤمن يقوم مصليا إلا تناثر عليه البر ما بينه وبين العرش. And then says that when a person is standing in prayers before Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, says from his head right up to the throne, the arsh of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, he is drowned in the mercy of Allah Jalla wa Ala. Now these are the beauties that we find, that we have to observe. That is, with that mindset, we come to the prayer mat, that when a person stands before Allah, he is drowned in his mercy. And then says, وَوَكِّلَ بِهِ مَلَكٌ يُنَادِي. And Allah appoints an angel, and that angel says, يَبْنَ آدَمْ لَوْ تَعْلَمُ مَا لَكَ فِي السَّلَاةِ مَا تُنَاجِي وَمَا تُنَاجِي مَنْ فَتَلَتْ مَنْ فَتَلَتْ. Says that, if you knew that what is hidden in this prayer, that is, O sons of Adam, if you knew that what is hidden in this prayer and what is the benefit we get with whispering to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, you will never end this salat. Now the reason why we end it so quickly, because we don't understand. Now prayer, it's a beautiful gem that has been given to us by Allah Jalla wa Ala. But we don't take notice of it because we don't understand. In the teachings that we have from Ma'asumin, we find that some of the Imams, their du'as were as such that Allahumma rizukni halawata zikrik. That prayers, they are sweet. They are beautiful. The prayer is such that, O Allah, grant us the sweetness of your remembrance. So prayer is sweet, but we don't feel the sweetness because we don't know what the reality of this prayer is. There is this hadith Qudsi where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, and it is shocking. He says that those who come to prayers and they don't know who they are standing before and their moods and manners are just wandering everywhere, don't they fear that they would be changed into a donkey? That is, someone stands in prayers, in the presence of Allah, and he is wandering everywhere. That is, the person, he does deserve to be changed into a donkey. That is disrespect to Allah Jalla Ba'ala. All this to a lesson to myself. And then our sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, says, now before we come to this hadith, the reason why we don't benefit from these prayers, prayer is that beautiful gem that Allah has given to us. It has that sweetness in it. We don't benefit from it. Those clarifications which the Prophet mentioned, that is like someone who is hungry, if you give that food to him, he enjoys. And someone who is thirsty, when you give water to him, he gets so happy. The reason why we don't get happy with these prayers is that because we are sick. We are ill. If someone who is dehydrated, who is ill, who is suffering from all these diseases, if you lay a beautiful table before him, he will not eat anything because he doesn't feel like eating anything. He is ill. And even if he does, it's not going to benefit him. The reason why we don't benefit, because we are ill, we are sick. There is wrong in us, and that wrong has to be corrected for us to be able to benefit from these beautiful gems of Allah. Ala wa innaka law wajadta halawata ibadatillah wa ra'aita barakataha wa istaza'ta binuriha. That is, Allah, wa innaka, indeed, if you saw the sweetness of worship and you saw the barakat, and if you were enlightened with the noor of this worship, lam tasbir anha sa'atan wahidatan, you will never distance from this prayer for a moment. وَلَوْ قُتِعْتَ إِرْبًا إِرْبًا, that even if you are sliced into pieces, you will never separate from this worship for a moment. It is so beautiful. With regards to prayers, we find that beautiful quotes have been mentioned from Ma'sumin alayhim as-salam. As-salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Says that prayer, salat, it is like a river which is in front of your house. And if you were to wash yourselves 5 times a day in that river, you will find that there is no trace of wrong in you. There will remain no dirt in you because of you washed yourself 5 times a day. And then Rasulullah says that that river is this prayer. If you cleanse and wash yourself 5 times a day properly, you will find that there will be no trace of rich wrong in your system and everything will be corrected, all because of this prayer. Sometimes we find that the performance of the people is so wonderful, so beautiful. Many a time we find that people, they say that we want to do the prayers, for example, in hiding or away from people so that we don't get afflicted with riya. It's good, but sometimes we have to encourage others to the good. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Allah says that when it comes to the good that you do in attracting the mercy of Allah, in favors of Allah, you have to promote it in the community. If there is some good which you do, do it in a way so that others also get attracted to. If you remember many, many years ago when you didn't have a center here, The two sons of our Shaykh, they used to sit and recite that Marsiya over and over again when there weren't many of you. So that was an attraction. They used to recite so many times, and all other young kids, they also got attracted, they also learned to recite. So that is something beautiful. The same thing is with prayers. And sometimes we find that this beautiful performance of a few attracts a few. In Qum, we had Ayatullah al-Uzma, Mar'ashi Najafi, among the Maraji' Taqleed, who died in the late 90s. Now the beauty of this great alim who died at an age of 96 was that every day, now this is for 50 years, more than 50 years, that he lived in Qum, before the Fajr prayers, he is the first one to enter the sacred shrine of Hazrat Masuma alayha salam. Men, and many a times you found that the door of the haram is closed and the Sayyid, even in that cold weather with his abba on his head, is sitting by the door of the shrine until the door is opened. Now upon seeing the performance of this great person, the students living at that time, they saw him, they also were moved that we also have to come to this haram. So that is that beautiful performance. Says that وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً, that whatever Allah has given to you, give that in the way of Allah, openly and hidden. That is, if it is a good, do it in a way that others also are attracted to that. When it comes to mosques, that is places of worship, again it's that same continuation of this advice of the Prophet. Says إِنَّ لِلْمَسَاجِدْ أَوْتَادَ. وَتَدْ means a nail, over here means pivot, means column. That is, indeed, mosques also, they have some columns, that is some strong supports. What are these strong supports? That is, those mu'mineen who frequent in the mosques, who associate with the mosque. And inshallah, you will have a mosque over here. Mosques, they have great barakat, as the center of your mosque has a great barakat. So if it's a proper mosque, you find that people also can go and perform i'tikaf in the month of Rajab, associate in that mosque, and the reward of offering prayers in a mosque multiplies huge by those prayers that are offered otherwise. It says, wal autada. Every mosque has some people who support it. Al malaikatu julasa'uhum. The angels, they sit with these. إِذَا غَابُوا افْتَقَدُوهُمْ وَإِن مَرِضُوا غَادُوهُمْ. Starts mentioning the qualities of these people. That is, when they are away, then people, they go in search of them. وَإِن مَرِضُوا غَادُوهُمْ. When they fell sick, you go and visit them. كَانُوا فِي حَاجَةٍ. And continues. الْجُلُوسُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ لِانْتِظَارِ الصَّلَاةِ عِبَادَةٌ وَقَالَ مَنْ كَانَ الْقُرْآنَ حَدِيثُهُ وَالْمَسْجِدُ بَيْتُهُ بَنَى اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتَيْن فِي الْجَنَّةِ. He then continues and says that sitting in a mosque has that great value. Waiting for a prayer after a prayer is so much beneficial, it's a worship in itself. And someone who talks Quran and someone whose house is that mosque, Allah will make for him two houses in the heaven as a result of that association, that bond that a person has with a mosque. So prayer is important. We have to give importance to these prayers. The quality of that has to be improved. And for this, it was mentioned as a reminder once again, I'll mention it. And that is, we have to try and invest a little bit more on these prayers that we offer. For example, the Fajr prayers, you can do it in a better way. It's just 2 rak'at and there is less distraction at that time. Investing a little bit more, meaning that perform at least 1 of the 5 wajib prayers in the best way, with the highest quality, with every zikr topped up into it, and with the zikr of ruku and sajda also increase it. If you say it once, multiply it by 7. There is a hadith, the Ravi, he says that once our 6th Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam, he was saying his prayers and he says that I sat by him. And I started counting Subhana Rabbi al-Azim wa bihamdih. He said that 60 times. So that is the prayer of Imam. That is Ma'asum. One of the other examples that we can mention, this book called Nami Azbi Nishanha, and that is the biography of Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Sheikh Hassan Ali Nukhudaki Isfahani, says that it was his habit that he comes to the shrine, to the roof of the haram of our 8th Imam Riza alayhi salatu wassalam. Allahumma And he offers his prayers there by the dome of the sacred shrine of the Imam. And in those days, the haram, they used to close it at midnight. The caretaker, he says that it was his habit of this Sayyid, of this Shaykh, that he used to offer the prayers at that time. And this on Thursday also, he came and he was saying his prayers, and I have to close the doors of the haram. I come and see that this Shaykh, he is in ruku. Let's wait for a bit, and then when I come back, I'll ask him to leave, I can lock the haram. He says, I come again and I see he is in ruku. It's a cold, chilly night. He says that I had to rush back home. It was urgent for me. And I couldn't leave this Shaykh up in this cold weather on this rooftop. And also I cannot leave this haram open. My task is to close it. He says, to be on the safe side, I left some firewood by this Shaykh. And I locked the haram and I came home. And early morning before Fajr, as I had to be there for Fajr, I rushed towards haram. And that night it snowed very heavy. He was worried. He rushes to the haram and comes and sees, rushes on the rooftop and sees this Shaykh, he is in ruku. He said, maybe he has passed away. And he says, I see a span of snow sitting on his back. Comes close to see if he is passed away, that he, why is he in ruku? He said, no, Subhana Rabbi al-Azimi wa bihamdi. He continued the whole night in worship and in ruku. Quran says, Minhum rukka'in la yasjudun, that some of the angels that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has created, they are always in ruku. Some of them are always in sajda, minhum sujjadun la yarkamun. So that is that bond, that love, the sweetness which they saw in prayers, which we don't see. So to enhance that and to create this sweetness, we have to emphasize, we have to invest a little bit more on one of the prayers, so that gradually a time will come that we also will feel the sweetness of these prayers. So invest when it comes to your morning prayers. Say that Allahu Akbar properly with all those seven takbirah, if you remember those du'as that are to be said before that, azan and iqamat properly, seven takbirah, and then say Allahu Akbar. Recite Suratul Hamd slowly, correctly, so that whatever you are saying, you understand. When you go to ruku, say that zikr seven times, top it up with a salawat after that, get up, say Sami'allahu liman hamidah slowly, second sajda, third sajda. And if you do that for 40 days, it will become part of your plan and it will never go away from you. And if in case you forget the seven zikr in the ruku, doesn't matter, top it up with 14 in the first sajda. If you forget, then 21 in the second sajda. If for whatever reason, and it will so happen in the first few days, that you will become forgetful that, you know, of what you had to do, and you will be reminded in the last sajdas that that is what you had to do in the, that was your plan. So top it up, whatever you've lost throughout your prayers, with 49, 50 times saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi in that last sajda, and a time will come that this becomes a package and we will start to enjoy prayers. Prayers are beautiful. Whenever we get stuck, here Rasulullah says, come to prayer, seek help. وَاسْتَعِينُ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَعِينُ, get help. That is, you get help. بِالصَّبْرِ, which is patience. Patience is said to be as fasting, and salat is prayers. That you get help from prayers, and you will get. Here Rasulullah says that knock his door so much, that is, come to prayers so much, so that the doors are opened for you. We find that prayers means adab, means obedience, means honor, means respect to Allah Jalla Wa'ala. And that has to be taught to us. And the more a person is mu'addab, better prayers are offered. And the reason why we find Hur on the day of Ashura, he finds salvation, it's because of that adab. Adab to the Creator, adab to the Imam, adab in performance. when Abu Abdullah comes to Karbala, on the first day, there is a talk, a dialogue between Hur and Abu Abdullah. They have a talk and it is time for Zuhr. Imam says, Hur, we have to break now. We'll have to go and say the prayers first and we'll come. Me with my 70 men, we'll pray here. You with your 1,000 men, you say your prayers there. Hur says, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, how can I say my prayers there when you are going to lead here? Impossible. I have to say my prayers with you. That is adab. Adab to Creator, adab to prayers, adab to Imam. And if this one incident was reported to Ibn Ziyad, that was sufficient for Hur to be beheaded. That how come he said his prayers with the enemy? And we find that on the day of Ashura, it was this adab to the Creator, adab to the Imam, that he finds himself amidst the hell and the heaven. And when his men said that, Hur, if we were said, who is the strongest man here in Kufa, we would have said, it's Hur. What is it that we feel we find you so reluctant and so worn out? What is that? He says, I find myself amidst the hell and the heaven. Heaven I will not let go, hell I will not take. Gallops towards the Imam, and again another adab that he says. Imam says, step down, Hur. Allah has forgiven you. He says, Imam, me, a warrior on a horseback, can be a better servant for you. That is another adab. Goes and gives away his life for the Imam. It may have been these days that in Sham, we find Hind, the wife of Yazid, she comes and says to Yazid that everyone has seen these prisoners, I haven't seen them. I'd like to go and see the prisoners myself. Yazid says, okay, go, but you are the empress, you are the queen of the state. You have to observe the formalities and take the chair, the throne, whatever it is, so that you seat properly and everyone respects you and that honor of yours is maintained even in the prisons. She comes to the prisons, comes in the prison where you find Zainab al-Kubra, Umm Kulsum and the other household of Aba Abdullah are present. Says Hind, that from where are you? Prisoners of war of which place? She says, Zainab al-Kubra says, it's Yasrib, Medina. When she hears that it's from Medina, they are from Medina, she who was sitting on that chair sits down on the floor now. That is that adab, the manners. Says, from Medina. Then Zainab says, why did you sit down? Says, from Medina, I have, as mark of respect to the people of Medina, I have to sit on the floor. Then says that, do you know the house of Ali in Medina? Says, yes, who could know Ali and his house better than me? Says, what about Hussein? Says, Hussein's head is in your court, in Yazid's court, in Yazid's palace. Then says, what about Zainab? Hazrat Zainab says, you did not recognize me? So she had been the maid of Hazrat Zainab in Medina. She had learned from her. And when she finds that it's her lady Zainab who was in the prisons, rushes to Yazid. And after that, his policies, they change when he finds that his wife also has stood against her. In Maqatil, we find that Imam Sajjad, he cried for Aba Abdullah for 40 years. On one day, when he was fasting, time to break his fast, his khadim comes, brings his iftar and says, Imam, it's your time for your iftar. And is it not time that you should stop crying? You've cried for 40 years, Imam. Imam says, you want me to stop crying? Allah tabarak wa ta'ala blessed Prophet Ya'qub with so many sons. One of them went missing. He cried so much until his eyes were blinded. And that son was given back to him. And in front of my eyes, in less than one day, I saw my entire household perish. I saw my father being killed in the worst, in the most brutal way. I saw my brothers, I saw Bani Hashim, I saw all of my companions being killed in that way. And furthermore, after that, when the tents were burnt down, when the household was taken from one place to the other, and you want me to stop crying? Ala na'matullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa sayalamu al-ladheena zalamu ayyam al-qalabin yanqalibun. Ilahi bihaqq al-zahra wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirr al-mustawda'i fiha. Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Allahumma ahyina hayata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa amitna mamata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma arzuqna fi dunya ziyarata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa fil akhirati shifa'ata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ajjil fi faraji Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Matam
Hussain. Ya Hussain. Ya Hussain.